Well, praise the Lord. That was good, wasn't it?
Amen.
I tell you, Brother Benny talked this morning about the coming new year, and we end our year this month and begin a brand new year. And I'm looking forward to what greater opportunity, though, to begin our year debt-free and the ministry that we have in front of us. And we're looking forward to it. I'm getting to know my way around town a little bit and getting to be known by people. We were in a grocery store Friday night late and forgot a few things, so we got something. And the checker, she may be here this morning, but I met Shannon, and she said, "You don't know me, but I go to church there." And so everywhere we're going, we're finding people. And I stopped up at a quick stop to run in and get a big drink. And I'm walking back by there and going to fix a drink, and I hear this, "Bob! If I tell you one more time to get that broom, I'm going to kill you." So I answered, "Where is it?" And there was an obvious silence on the other end. There were two people in there named Bob, and one of them worked there, and I sure hope he found a broom. So I'm getting well known, but I enjoyed it. Let me say one more thing, and then we'll get started, though. I love serving with the staff we have here. I'll tell you, the ministers we have, Britt and all his team is great. Jimmy and Rita, Brother Benny and Miss Linda, Miss Becca, all these folks, they serve and honor the Lord. And it's just my honor for Jan and I to come alongside of us. We're celebrating our 48th wedding anniversary this week. And so Jimmy took over for me. Thank you. Praise the Lord. And I want to meet some friends here, if you'd allow me one more point of privilege there. But these are the Engel family. They live over at Paris, Arkansas. And this is Jeff. He just had his 48th birth. Wow. I've been married 48 years, and he's just 48 years old. Wow. This is Jeff and his son, Z-Man, the Zach, and, of course, his wife, Sheila. And the other guy has a particular interest in my granddaughter, and that's Ben. So we welcome y'all. Welcome them this morning. Would you do that? I want you to stand together with me, and you won't see the text up there. I want you to quote this morning's sermon text with me, if you would. And it's the most famous prayer in all the world. It is quoted by many schools. When I grew up, every morning we stood and we said this together. On the basketball team that I played, before every game, we put our hands all in together and we said this prayer. You know it. It's called the Lord's Prayer. It's found in the book of Luke and it's found in the book of Matthew. Luke says it a little bit different. He puts the word sins in for trespasses and he leaves out one of the phrases that Matthew put in. But let's say it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated, would you? The young children danced as the rain began to fall, because for over one solid year there had been no rain. The parents of those children lifted their hands toward heaven with their mouths open, drinking in the substance they had not seen in over a year. It's now been over 400 years since the final prophet has died. It seems as though that God had been silent for more than 400 years. It's yet one generation before Jesus comes upon earth. It is this time of period by which it seems as though there's a silence. Israel is suffering and struggling. The first time I heard about this story was at Jerusalem University when I had 20 students there. And I heard this story for the first time. And you can find out and see more of it in Mark Batterson's book called The Circle Maker. And so they call on a man who lived outside of town. He came into town. His name was Honi. Honi has been known to be famous for praying and for praying for rain. And so it's been over a year. They're dry. They're not hearing from God. There is no voice in the land. The prophets are all gone. There had been no miracles taking place. And so Honi comes in. And they ask Honi, who lived on the outside skirts of Jerusalem, they ask him to pray for rain. Thousands of people were gathered. And the first time I researched this, is this just Jewish legend or is there document? And there is. It's a true story. But he prayed three prayers. And as he prayed these three prayers, this is what he did. He turned in a circle and he began to pray. And this is what he said in prayer number one, Lord of the universe, I swear before your great name that I will not move from this circle until you have shown mercy to your children. So 90 degrees, 180 degrees, 220 degrees, 360 degrees. That's his first prayer. When he prayed, when Honi prayed that prayer, it began to sprinkle. And this is the second prayer as he turns 90, 180, 220, 360. Not for such rain have I prayed, but for the rain that will fill cisterns, pits, and caverns. And it began to pour down, began to shout. The documentation says that there were thousands of people there, and it began to pour down rain. So he prays the third prayer. Not for such rain have I prayed, but for the rain of your favor, blessing, and graciousness to fall down. It had been difficult to believe the day before that God was going to allow it to rain. But the day after, it was impossible not to believe that it was not going to rain. I want to talk to you about something today. I've left everybody alone pretty much all week. Stayed to myself a lot. Sometimes the man of God just got to do that to figure out where we're going to go and how we're going to get there. If that whip is going to get used at all, it'll be on me, because I stand before you as your leader with a great staff of people, with a great willingness to work and willingness to help and to do. I don't know if you realize the open door that's in front of us at this church. I don't think you do. I don't think you see the potential. I don't think you recognize and realize what God wants to do in this place. And not just because we're going to burn this debt and start a year off debt-free. That's a great start. I'm telling you, like Honi prayed in that prayer, this morning we need to circle ourselves. We need to put ourselves inside the circle and say, I'm not coming out of this circle until I find favor with you. So in the Lord's Prayer, there are seven petitions in there, but we're not concerned with that. And the first part of the prayer, though, is it shows the character of God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So the first part is all about God and his character. The second part is about man and his condition. You notice that? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. That's all about the character of God. But the second part is about the condition of man. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not. Give us, lead us, and deliver us, and help me forgive. So while the character of God is sure, there are three geographical locations listed in this prayer. If you'll go there with me. It says first, our Father which art in, help me. Heaven. Where is heaven? I don't know. But we now have identified galaxies that are 12 billion light years away. I don't know exactly where it is, but I know it's a long way. Now, you probably don't sense any motion right now. You're sitting in a chair, in a church, in a city, in a state, in a country, on a planet that is spinning 1,000 miles an hour around its axis. Not only that, it is hurling through space at 67,000 miles an hour. And by the end of this day, it will have made a 1.3 million mile track toward and around the sun. And you thought you didn't do anything big today. You thought you didn't have anything planned today. And yet none of you are trying to hang on to your seat. And you still have trouble believing that God hears our prayer. And that God is not the God of, Brother Jimmy calls it, of design and order. And that he takes the chaos of mankind and man's conditions and places his character about us and allows us to breathe air, oxygen in and out and have a life. Well, so there are three geographical locations. The first is heaven. He says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The second is that of the kingdom. Now, where is the kingdom? There are 66 words in the Lord's Prayer. Only 66 words. And the power of words. The thing I hate most about our language today and what we are doing to our kids in higher education, we are dumbing it down. I told you about the University of Indiana last week that says if you feel offended at any time, scream, "Ouch," and hold your stomach. Every school of higher education today is building a hothouse around young people, explaining to them that they have a right never to be offended. They have a right never to hear anything they don't want to hear. They have a right never to have to go to anything where they are challenged or where their faith is challenged or whether their existence is challenged. And it's destroying the very fabric. But it's cheapened our words as well. Words have no power today. They have no meaning because we continue to dumb down the words for boys and girls because we say we don't want them offended. A teacher was fired last week because of a boy who wanted to go in the girls' locker because he said, "I now identify as a girl." I'm glad I'm not the teacher at that school. They would have me a lot worse than getting fired. The generation that knows not the Lord has come. They have come. In leadership across this nation, did you know there are fewer Christians in Congress and Senate than there have ever been at any point in this nation who do not identify as a Christian in any way, shape, or form? 66 words of great power. Now, our Father which art in heaven, the first geographical location of that is in heaven, the seat of all righteousness, is it not? It's the place where there is no need. No need exists in heaven. In fact, when the final book, when John writes in the Revelation, it says, "Neither shall there be," what? "Any more death, any more sorrow, any more pain, no more crying, for the former things are passed away." Everything about this life that will vanish away. And I know everyone is wanting to protect the planet, and everybody running for president is going to attempt to save the planet and not use plastic straws. I get that. And I get how the world will be changed if we do that. But I'm going to tell you, yes, there will be coming a day when this world will be no more. It's coming in the book of Revelation. And when it says here in Revelation that I beheld a new heaven and a new earth, that's when Al Gore got it right. That's when it will be right. There will be a passing away of this earth. And because of that, we are not to worship the creature or the creation. We are to worship the God in heaven who created us all. That's where heaven is. It's the seat of all righteousness. It's the place where no need exists. I did not get saved as an 11-year-old boy at the Roseville Baptist Church because I was afraid of hell, or the preacher talked about hell, or when I die, I want to go to heaven. I prayed to receive Jesus Christ. Johnny Dar is our pastor standing there telling me how to be saved because I knew that I was a sinner. I understood the fact that my sin had become an offense to God, and I apologized for it, and I asked to be into the second part of the geographical location. He says in this Lord's Prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom." The kingdom, that's the second year. The kingdom is the canal by which all of God exists, by which all of our work exists. We're doing kingdom work. Now, we belong to Mountaintop Cowboy Church. That's kind of where we headquarter. And if you're a member here and you attend here, your tithes and offerings ought to be back there in the little cowboy buckets when you leave here. Right. Why? Because this is it. We do it for kingdom work. Amen. It's not just about our work. It's about kingdom work. So that's what the kingdom is. It's the channel or the canal by which all of God's work exists. And everything that we do in our life, we're always talking about, "Lord, when this is over, I'm going to go to you." But here in the Lord's Prayer, we're asking for His kingdom to come down here. We're not going to escape until He takes us home. But His kingdom. So heaven, the kingdom. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come," literally meaning that the earth will agree with heaven, that the kingdom comes down in the form of Jesus Christ. Every time that Jesus talked about who he was or where he came from, it was always the Sanhedrin that asked, "Just where are you from, partner? I mean, what is this about you? Where?" Yeah, my Father's kingdom has come down. And then the third geographical location is that of the earth, the place of great need. Another thing about this Lord's Prayer is this. There are no singular pronouns. Do you ever need? And that when I started memorizing that again, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There are no personal pronouns in this. See, prayer must be a personal experience, but it also must be a corporate enterprise. What are you circling yourself in today saying, I'm not leaving here till I know I have and find the favor of God in what He is doing and what He wants to do in my life? Now, we don't need rain. We don't need to pray for rain. It's rained plenty. So that's not our circle. But I have been in countries many, many times where I would see the parched earth and where they hadn't had rain in a year. Would somebody be willing to step inside the circle and say, Father, I'm not leaving this circle until... What do you need to put in the circle today? What has to be in the circle? Earth is a place of great need. Let me give you the three great needs. First, it's give us this day our daily bread, provision. It's a great need of provision. Now, heaven is a place where no need exists. A kingdom is the channel by which God brings everything through, the conduit of the kingdom into our lives. But earth is a place of great need, provision. Here's a problem with us. We want provision so bad. Think about Moses and manna. Every day, God says, gather up the manna. It's going to fall. And He says this about the manna. There's a principle here. It doesn't matter how much you gather up. Those who gathered up much had none left over. Those who gathered little had enough. It didn't matter. Why? Because everyone had to look to Him and His provision. And then He said, make sure there's none left over. Now, I know some of your natures. Some of you have a Scottish nature by which you're going to pull back some stuff. You know, I'm just thinking, I may need some for tonight when I get real hungry. Does anybody take a little entourage of stuff to the night bedside thing just in case? I mean, just in case you get hungry. Anybody do that? Am I the only one that says that? You mean you don't have any Twizzlers beside the bed? It didn't matter what they gathered in, there was to be nothing left and nothing would be left. Didn't matter. See, earth is a place of great need. First, in provision, give us this day our daily bread. Just enough. Just enough. You know what happens in a culture like ours that we become so rich and so blessed beyond measure? And I've said two or three times as Jen and I driving this week, looking at someone else's life, they're going, we are so blessed. I don't mean that in a comparison matter. I just mean when I see things that are a blessing that used to didn't be a blessing to me. I mean, but now they are. Small things. A blessing. So when I look at that, give us this day our daily bread, just enough. The problem with the church is if we have become so arrogantly rich that we just don't see the small blessings at all. And we don't pray. We don't stand inside the circle. Give us this day our daily bread. Most of us have enough bread to last the next 45 days, folks. If you looked in the freezer at our house, I promise you, you could shut every grocery store down in town. We can live out of the freezer in the garage, and our pantry for 45 days, never leave the house. I believe we could. So when I'm praying, Lord, I'm not saying give us food. We've already got the food. I'm just thanking Him for it. And it's the right thing to do. But what I'm saying is, give us this day our daily bread does not just mean about the food that we're to eat. Because Jesus went on to say about this, you don't live by just the bread alone that you eat, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is bread to you. He says in John chapter 6, after the longest discourse in the New Testament, in John 6, he finally ends it, as he begins it with Philip and Nathanael, there is a lad here, but what is there about so many of the two fishes and the loaves, but what is that among so many? And he ends it by saying, I think the greatest categorical statement about provision in the Bible, I am the bread of life. You started this chapter by trying to feed 5,000 people with bread, but I'm telling you, I am the bread of life. Woe unto any church that loses sight of the fact that Jesus is the bread. He is the life. When we do communion, And some churches call that transubstantiation, by which they literally believe that when they take the bread and take that drink, that that becomes literally the body of Christ. Now, we know it's not true. We know it's symbolic. But what I am saying to you is, he is saying every time that we do that, it's me. Don't look at the provision. Look at the provider. Be thankful. Every request. What are you willing to put yourself in this circle and say, give us this day our what? I've got all the bread I need. In fact, we buy bread and then throw it away because we can't eat it fast enough. And so when I'm praying, very few times in my life, in fact, I've only been thirsty one time in my life, when I actually said, Lord, I have to have a drink. And I've only been hungry a couple times in my life. Now, in my mind, I've been hungry a whole lot. But what I'm saying to you is, I've also walked the streets of the second largest slum in the world in New Delhi, India, in which I saw boys and girls that you could count ribs and bones who don't have what I have. And you know, I remember that one day I was in, we had about 10 boxes of stuff and there was a bunch of candy given to us. I said, leave that in here, guys. We can't get that out. That's not enough to even get through the first section of the slum. How dare we as Western believers believe that we have the answer and can meet everybody's need? We've got all the candy in the world. We've got all the scriptures in the world. We can't meet anybody's need at all, but we have the provider who can. Let me tell you what's wrong with this church and every other church I just came from is we get so complacent and thinking about ourselves only that we forget. Who are we willing to step inside the circle for? Said, Lord, if you don't do something, they're not going to make it. And I'm not leaving this circle till I see and hear your blessing. The world, the earth, heaven, place of no need. The conduit of the kingdom leads us to the planet earth by which there's great need of provision. The second word that he gives us, give us this day our daily bread, for he is the provider. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord supplies. And we are a consumer. Church is a consumer. We are a consumer of his grace. We're a consumer of his blessing. We are a consumer. And consumer Christianity today means I want to come and give what you have for me. I'm going to squeeze it out and then I'm going to walk out the door. That's consumer Christianity. I'm not going to volunteer. I'm not going to help. I'm not going to be a worker or a witness. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to come and soak up. I'm a consumer. And he is the provider. I love what Paul said in Philippians 4, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He also said in chapter 3, he said, listen, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content, even if you're in Texas. Even if you're in Arkansas or Iowa. Anybody from Texas? Ooh, picked the wrong state, didn't I? Arkansas, yeah. It's going to be a long year, isn't it, Hog fans? It's going to be a long year. I have a great big sack I want to put over my head watching that. Doesn't matter. I have learned to be content in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. It's a learned process. We are consumers, but God's grace is there. He is that provider. Moses and manna, he'll give you just enough. So earth is a place of great need by which provision must be given. Earth is also a great need of pardon. And as he says, give us this day our daily bread. And what? Teach us to forgive other people and let stuff go. Wow, pardon. Earth is a great place of need in pardon. There's a difference in pardon and parole. Pardon is to release from punishment, exemption, nothing else said. Parole is the release of a prisoner whose term is not yet served on condition that you will do better. Aren't you grateful and glad that you have not been paroled but have been pardoned? Otherwise, we'd be watching each other's conduct every moment, every time. Did you see Brother Jimmy? He is a sinner. Well, we all know that. But Did you see what he did this time? He's not. And that's what would happen if we were paroled. Thank God we are pardoned. Thank God you're not going to be able to work one thing toward your salvation, for it has all been completed in Christ Jesus. You either live inside the completed work of Jesus Christ, the efficacy work that he has done, or you're as lost and going to hell as you ever will be, because there is no earthly way to receive that pardon. It comes from heaven through the conduct of the kingdom into an earth that is of great need. Parole or pardoned. Let me give you the last one. Earth is a great need of a pathway. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our provision, our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. A pathway. We are in a great need of a pathway. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here's the thing. He is not saying, God, you're directing me into temptation here. What did James say? For God has tempted no person any time. But you are drawn away of your own lust. And when you're drawn away of your own lust, sin is born or birthed. And when sin is conceived, it brings forth D-E-A-T-H, death. The final pronouncement of your life in sin is death. It is appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. Hebrews. It's going to happen. It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to everybody unless the rapture hits. Well, here we are, a pathway. Lead us not toward temptation, Father, but deliver us from evil. There is a great pathway that God gives us. Jesus also commented on this pathway. He said, you know, large is the road that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path that leads to... Why is it narrow? Anybody ever know, you know what a cow path is out in the pasture? Anybody ever see the cow paths? I have followed my way home many, many a nights by following the cow path, getting from my uncle. He had a TV set, and we didn't. He lived about 300 yards from us, up and down the hill. Cows between us, cow path, no light, no flashlight, no light. Well, on Wednesday nights, there was a show came on that me and my sister and my little brother always wanted to watch. Well, there were two. One was called the Beverly Hillbillies. That came on. The other, though, was Rod Sterling, The Twilight Zone. One night, it was a particularly scary show. I can remember just as though it was Martians landed in the top of this woman's attic. The entire show was she was trying to get up in this attic. I leave Uncle Pud's house. I see the cow path. My sister and I, we're not talking. All we're seeing is Martians. I'm on the cow path. She mentions it. Our gait gets faster and faster. Next thing you know, we are in a dead run. Left our little brother way behind. I hit that back door. But I stayed on the cow path. Let me tell you, there is a pathway set. Jesus Christ has set it himself. His finished work is completed. It's stay on the path, folks. Stay on the path. But it's going to get darker. Oh, you have no idea. Sin's going to get worse and worse. You have no idea. I fully believe in another 10 years, maybe 35 to 50% of the American churches will accept alternate lifestyles as normal. I believe that the Word of God within a dozen to 15 years will be in such conflict with believers in churches. I believe that's the next conflict. But there is a pathway set. Stay on the path. Stay on the path. Stay on the path. Stay the course. There was an old sailor that was dying, and he called in the young minister that he had mentored all of his life. He had a compass, as every sailor does. He gave it to him. He's dying of cancer. He handed it to the young pastor. Young pastor turned it over, and it said, stay the course. Stay the course. Churches like ours will become more and more rare in the next 10 to 15 years. You can mark it down on the day that I told you. The Word of God is going to become more and more scarce. Did you know there is no national Bible bookstore chain left in the United States? That even Lifeway closed all 154 stores. Zondervan closed 187 stores. Wow, Amazon's got all the business. They sell all the Bibles. Now, there is no national chain where you can go to a national bookstore, Christian bookstore in America. All happened this year. all happened this year. If you want to buy a Bible, you're going to have to get it from Amazon. Here's the deal, I'm telling you, there is a pathway. It has been set. What this church and every other church needs to do is find this little circle. 90, 180, 220, 360. Father, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then the personal needs that we all have. Then there's a conclusion to this thing. And he says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever. Amen. Circle. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Honi prayed that prayer one generation before Jesus came. The world was cold and silent. All the prophets were dead. Miracles had just about ceased because no one wanted to believe. The day before the rain, no one could believe that this could happen. The day after the rain, no one could believe that it could not have happened. Now I'm going to ask you one question today. There's a wonderful crowd. Beautiful families. On the floor, up in the balconies. You're a beautiful church. You're a sweet church. You're a loving church. One of the friendliest churches I've been in the last 5 years. But I think we may be missing it a little bit. I think we need to draw some circles today and put ourselves in it. I ain't coming out of here, Lord, until I know I'm in your favor. We have lost family members. Our prayer list that JL handed me this morning is a page and a half long, just the people who are sick. We're living in a struggling world. But we've got to care. I've spent the major portion of my adult life trying to make sure that the presence of God is felt and kept in the church today. But I also realize that the passion for God must also be followed by compassion for others. We've got to be known as the church, not just up on the hill, but the church with compassion who loves others. That needs to be our legacy. Who do you need to draw the circle around today? What do you need to draw the circle around today? Honi says, Lord, I did not come to pray for a sprinkle. I came to pray for your favor. So, Father, here we stand before you. Lord, we have guests here. We have first-time visitors here. We have top hands and old hands. We have the faithful. We have those who have opened their hearts and their pocketbooks for years and have been faithful. They've stayed the course. They know the prayer. They live it out. But, Father, today I just have in my heart that every one of us needs to draw a circle and put ourselves back in that and beg for the favor of God in our lives. For differences to be made. It's not enough for us to gripe about where the culture is going, Father. It's enough for us to be involved in every student's life. Help us to do that now. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Is the Holy Spirit saying to you today, I want you to draw a circle, and you know what needs to be said inside that circle? If that's you today, let your preacher know by just lifting your hand and saying, that's me, preacher, that's me. I know that the Holy Spirit is telling me I need to put myself in that circle. Is that you today? I'm looking. Is that you today? All right. Is that you today? How many need to be inside the circle saying, Father, I need to come back to you as I've never come back to you? See, I think every Sunday ought to be Revival Sunday. I think every Sunday ought to be Renewal Sunday. Every Sunday ought to be coming back to the blessingness of God and saying, Father, thank you for this. Put yourself inside the circle. In just a moment, we're going to have our invitation as we do every Sunday. And if you have never, ever prayed that prayer of forgiveness, asking Jesus Christ to take that sin from you, here's the deal. Jesus is saying to you, listen, I'll swap you. That sin, that mind that's had nothing but bad in it, the bad thoughts, the evil, all that junk in your mind, I'll swap you evil. I'll swap you even. Your evil for my righteousness. And we'll shake hands. That's salvation. It's a great swap, exchanging my sin for his righteousness. You can pray right where you are. But many of you in this room, you're saved and you know it, but you just need to get yourself in a circle and begin to ask God once again, our Father who is in heaven, whose name is holy, who has a kingdom, who has come down in Jesus Christ and has allowed me to be in his kingdom. Back to praying for our daily bread, his provision for us, the pathway that he set, keep me on it, and the pardon that he has given us. So, Father, help us this day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Just a moment ago, if you lifted your hands, so I need to put a circle. This altar is open for you. I invite you to come and to kneel here or to tell one of our pastors, I pray to receive Jesus Christ, or I need you to get in this circle with me until God moves or changes this condition. I tell you, if the church does not begin to pray for this country, we are headed in a direction, and I don't know your political aim, that's not of interest to me at all. Left, right, middle, independent, Democrat, Republican. I am talking about the saints of God praying for this country as they've never prayed before. Because we are in desperate trouble. We're one more move away from God, and I don't think we have a leg to stand on. In fact, I think the only thing stopping the impending judgment of God right now is the believing saints on the world holding the stay off. You need to come to this altar. The rest of us are going to pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If the Holy Spirit is leading you to come to this altar, I'm going to ask you to step out right now and to make an altar here. No one else is looking on. No one else needs to know. Your circle.
There's hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing, to meet you wherever you are. Cry long before it was their time. to the widow who suffers from being alone, wiping the tears from her eyes, for the children around the world without a home, say a prayer tonight. There is hope for the helpless, rest for and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and
in corporate worship. Lord, we know that prayer is to be a personal experience, but it must be a corporate experience as well. May together we learn to pray. May together we stand inside our circles like honey and find and seek your favor more than anything else in the world. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Boys and girls, come down quickly. Thank you and be seated. If you would, Brother Benny is gone. Baptized B3, I call him. And as soon as we say amen here, if you're 20s, 30s, and 40s, if you'd run up to the balcony, Jan and I want to meet with you for about 5 minutes. And you say, well, I'm 53. Well, if you can make the steps at 53 and get up there, then that's fine too. You can come. My concern, we have great senior adult classes going on. It's not a concern, but I'm trying to find out, trying to figure out what our young need in discipling and coming together. They have busy lives with kids, and some of them are singles and all that, but we're trying to figure that out, sort it out. So that 5 minutes up there, you telling me what we need. Miss Jan, why don't you bring the gifts and bring me Jimmy's gift too. I think I'll just put that in the experiment there too this morning. Isn't that cool? Brother Jimmy, I've never had such a gift that I think that I'm going to like. All right, guys and gals, come on up this morning. Where is everybody? Is this all of you? Are you kidding me? Do y'all know the Lord's Prayer? No. All right. Well, I was going to have you memorize it with us. Everybody doing good today? Come on over, guys. These are not the, this is just some of our kids, but this is not the future of the church. Ladies and gentlemen, this is church. This is who they are. And because of that, yeah. Where is Hunter at? Where is Hunter? Right there. All the rest of them came for candy, but Hunter, you came to listen to me preach, didn't you, buddy? You came for the word. That's right. He gets two suckers. The rest of you just get one. Now, today, all I want to do is, Miss Jan's going to give you, and Caitlin, on your way down, give you a sucker on the way out, but we're going to pray for you. How many of you are in school? You go to some sort of school. You've not graduated, okay? Is it hard to be a Christian at school? Yep, it is. It's not. It's good. We're going to pray for you right now that you'll live for Jesus tomorrow at school, okay? Somebody going to cheat on the test? How many of you think it's wrong to cheat on a test? Oh, 63% of you do. All right, well, we got some work to do, Becca. Let's stay after them, okay? Stand together and let's pray over our boys and girls. Many of you are out here who didn't come. Kids, if y'all want to come up, Miss Jan will have something special for you too as well. Father, I pray for our children. I pray for our youth. These are difficult days for them to live in. They're hearing words we never dreamed we would hear. They're seeing things we never, ever thought we would have to see. So I pray for strength. We pray them in our side of our circle that you'll help them, Heavenly Father, to grow up strong and in nurturing and in loving you every day. May they love this church. May they love their family. May they be obedient to moms and dads and papas and nanas. Lord, help them to grow up loving you. Help us to set the path for them. Help them to keep up the cow path straight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, go down this way if you would, guys, and go around and circle around. Miss Jan will help you. You're not moving fast enough. Here. Guys, hope you have a great day. If you're a visitor with us, please go back and get the coffee cup and sign up. If you're 20s, 30s, and 40s, go up to the balcony right this very moment, and we'll see you there.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, He who died heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sins. Let His little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, He will stay close beside me all the way. If I love Him when I die, He will take me home on high. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, oh yes, Jesus loves me, oh yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Yes, the Bible tells me so.
Never know.
You want me to just do one more song? Let's do one more song.